Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures tonight to the 15th chapter of the epistle, the first epistle to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. My text tonight is made up of verses 55 through 57. We begin our reading at verse 33. The Word of God at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool! That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. And to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man. Another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Albeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There ends our reading of the Word of God tonight. May the Lord add His blessing to our reading of the Scriptures. I call your attention particularly to verses 55 through 57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In this 15th chapter of Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, the apostle teaches and defends the glorious truth of the resurrection of believers. Every aspect of that truth is set forth in this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. In this chapter, the apostle teaches the certainty of the resurrection of believers. We will not be left in the grave, but we shall certainly, by the power of Jesus Christ, be raised out of the grave. Verses 42 and following, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There cannot be, there must not be amongst Christians any doubt concerning the certainty of our bodily resurrection. The apostle has taught the necessity for our resurrection. That necessity comes out especially in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, these bodies as now they are, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Because of what the kingdom of God and of heaven is, the resurrection and glorification of our bodies is necessary. The apostle has taught the glory of our resurrection bodies, particularly the glory of those bodies in comparison to the bodies that now we have. That's also verses 42 and following. It is sown in corruption. Our body now is a body of corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. Sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Sown a natural body, it will be raised a spiritual body. And the apostle has taught that all this will take place when our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes again. That's verse 52. This will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For when the trumpet shall sound, and Christ shall descend from heaven, at that trumpet blast, the dead shall be raised. This, people of God, is our hope. And it is on account of this our hope that the apostle says what he does in the words of our text for tonight. The text contains really the apostle's response, his own response to the teaching that he gives in this chapter concerning the glorious resurrection. It's as if he cannot restrain himself, having set forth the glorious truth of the resurrection of the believers in the day of Christ, at the end of giving that instruction. He cannot contain himself, but responds, O death, Where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This great truth of the resurrection of believers is a certainty. It is a certainty because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the apostle indicates that in the text. He has already pointed out that fundamental truth concerning the resurrection of believers, that our resurrection and the hope that we have of the resurrection is grounded in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. In verse 13 already, there he put it negatively. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. In our text, he puts it positively. That's verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The words of our text, therefore, are not simply the apostle's response to the glorious truth of the resurrection of believers, but the words of the text are really the apostle's response to the resurrection of Jesus. It is as if the apostle Paul is transported to the tomb, peers into the empty grave. He sees there the linen clothes lying just as they had been wrapped about Jesus, and Jesus not there. And seeing the empty grave, he breaks forth in this glad doxology of thanksgiving to God. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? In the end, the text is not only the Apostle Paul's response to the glorious truth of the resurrection, but it is God's own response. That comes out in as much as the words of our text for tonight are the fulfillment of prophecy and are really the repetition of Old Testament prophecy. The words of our text are found first in Hosea 13, verse 14. Hosea 13, verse 14. There God is speaking, and God says to Israel, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. The words of our text are God's own response to the resurrection of Jesus. This is our glad response tonight. The apostle does not only make this response himself personally, but he makes this glad response on our behalf, and in making it, he calls us to join him. By faith, we do tonight join him in this glad doxology of praise. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I call your attention to the text tonight under the theme, Our Victory Over Death. Our Victory Over Death. Let's notice, first of all, the fact of this. The fact of it. Secondly, the ground of it. That ground being the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And finally, the response, the glad response to the truth of our victory over death. The victory that the text celebrates is our victory over death and the grave. In verse 57, the apostle speaks of the victory. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. That victory, as the first part of the text makes plain, is our victory over death and the grave. In celebration of that victory, the apostle breaks forth with the doxology that is our text. In the text, the apostle and every believer with the apostle addresses death. He is speaking to death. Oh, death, he says, listen to me. I have something to say to you. And grave, you listen to, because I have something to say also to you. It is as if death and the grave in the text are persons, are personalized, and the apostle is addressing them to their face. Death in the text is physical death. It is the death of the body. Death is the great enemy of man. The apostle makes that plain when he says that we rejoice in our victory, the victory that we have. Victory is always victory over an enemy. The victory is the victory over the one great enemy of man. That enemy is death and the grave. We experience that. We experience death as our enemy. The apostle has identified death as the enemy in verses 25 and 26 of the chapter. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is the enemy of man. From every point of view, death is man's one great enemy. Death is the enemy of man inasmuch as it destroys his physical life. It takes away his breath and his earthly life. It snuffs his life out so that a man dies. Death is man's great enemy, not only because of what death is for a man personally, but because of the consequences of death. Death takes us away from this earth, from every aspect of our earthly life. It separates us from every earthly relationship so that we're not any longer able to enjoy the love, the friendship, and the fellowship of those who are near and dear to us, our children, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our fellow believers. Death is the great no at the end of every man's life, whether he is rich or whether he is poor, whether he is a person of influence or a man of no account, whether he is black or white, no difference. Death is the great equalizer. It puts us all on the same footing. Death nullifies all our aspirations, all our earthly labors, what it is for which man strives. Death reveals the vanity, the utter futility of earthly existence. We experience death that way. We experience that death is our enemy. There is something in every one of us that is fearful of dying. There is something repulsive about death. When we see someone who is dying or someone who has died, we're struck by the truth of the Scriptures. We know death is our enemy. And then there's the grave. The grave is always closely associated with death. The grave comes after death. Death cuts us down. The grave comes along behind death and gobbles us up. In the grave, death works itself out. Death destroys our physical body. Death shows itself in the grave to be our dread enemy. It tears us down so that our bodies rot and decompose and return to the dust out of which they have been taken. Death now, says the apostle, has a sting, and the grave has a certain victory. The apostle represents death in the text as a destroying power. And it represents the destructive power of death by a stinger. The sting of death. The stinger of death. The apostle is using a figure here. A figure that those to whom he was writing in his day would immediately understand. The figure is the figure of a scorpion. That's a pretty common figure in the Bible. The Bible talks about scorpions. Scorpions and serpents, or snakes, very often are associated with each other. A very menacing creature. In the book of Revelation, scorpions are referred to more than once. But just one reference in Revelation 9, verse 10, the creatures that come out of the bottomless pit are said to be like scorpions. And then in verse 10, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. The stinger in the scorpion's tail, a tail that arched over its back and head, a tail that the scorpion could whip around in every direction, that stinger on the end of that scorpion, similar to the stinger of a bee or a wasp, but much worse, was something by means of which the scorpion killed its prey. It would sting that prey so that either that prey was killed instantly or at least that prey was temporarily paralyzed, allowing enough time for the scorpion to descend upon that prey and to devour it and to destroy it. All right now, says the apostle, death is like that. Death is a giant scorpion. And in the tail of that fearful scorpion, there is a stinger with which death is determined to destroy you and to destroy me. At the same time, the grave has a victory. The idea is not that the grave itself is the victory, but the idea is that the grave leads to a certain victory. The grave works itself out in a victory, is the means to achieving a certain victory. Now, the sting of death and the victory of the grave can be identified in one word, and that one word is hell. Hell is the sting of death, and hell is the victory of the grave. Death stinger, the deadly blow that death is able to inflict upon mankind, is that death is the means to fling men into the everlasting fires of hell. And the victory that is associated with the grave, going down into the grave, is that, naturally speaking, as far as man deserves, death is the doorway, the portal that opens up into the fires of everlasting hell. That's the sting of death. That's the victory of the grave. The horror of death is not just physical death, physical dying, and all of the natural consequences that are a result of physical death, the pain and sorrow of death itself, but the horror of death under the judgment of God is that death leads to hell. It is death and the grave now that are addressed by the apostle in our text. O death, he says, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He asks questions. Those statements of the apostle are cast in the form of questions, but he doesn't ask these questions because he's seeking some information. He doesn't really know the answer to the questions that he asks. They aren't those kinds of questions. But these are rhetorical questions. They're questions, the answers to which are obvious. The apostle knows the answer. And so do God's people know the answer to the question. And he asks the questions in order to emphasize the great truth that he is proclaiming in the text. When he asks the question, O death, where is thy sting? What he is saying is this: death, you do not have a stinger anymore. And he says, O grave, where is thy victory? What he is saying is this: grave, you do not have any victory over me. That's what he is saying. The victory that the apostle celebrates in the text is a reality for every believer. It is the reality for every believer now already, in the present. That's what the apostle says in the text. He says, O death, where is now thy stinger? You don't now already have any power to hurt me. He says, O grave, where is thy victory? You don't have the victory over me. Not now, not any longer. We have the victory. The apostle has the victory. That's the great confidence that he is expressing in the text. For if death and the grave do not have the victory over us, we have the victory over them. That is the great truth that the apostle is proclaiming in the text. The great truth that he is proclaiming is not only that in the future we're going to have the victory over death and the grave. That's true. We are one day going to have the victory. But the point of the apostle is that already now we have that victory. We enjoy that victory. We live our days in the confidence that the victory is ours. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? This does not imply at all that God's people will escape death and that the power of death is a power that will not at all affect them. That's not the false hope that the apostle holds out to believers, that if our faith is only strong enough, we'll be able to overcome physical death and not be touched by the power of death. Not that false hope. For our confidence is that the sting of death, not death itself, is gone. Our confidence is that the victory of the grave, not the grave itself, is removed. We're going to die. Everybody here, everybody who is alive, before the day of the Lord's second coming, is going to die. We're going to face the reality that the apostle is talking about in the text. The reality of death and the reality of the grave. But this is our confidence, that death will not be able to sting us. This is our confidence, that the grave is not going to have the last word, is not going to have the victory over us. We have this confidence on a solid ground. That solid ground is the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle gives expression to that solid ground in the text. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, this victory over death and the grave, through our Lord Jesus Christ. There must be a solid ground upon which this confidence rests. Death is an awful power. The grave is a stark reality. Who can look death in the face? Who can stare at the open grave in the confidence that he has the victory over them? If there is no solid ground upon which to base the hope of this victory, does this ground live in our hearts so that consciously we embrace it? And embracing it, enjoy the comfort and the peace of this Word of God. Are we conscious that this is the ground of the hope of our victory over death? When death overtakes us, it's one thing to be healthy and well and sitting here in church tonight and to join the apostle in saying to death, you don't have the victory over me. And to the grave, you are not triumphant over me. But then when the doctor tells you, you have cancer, and that the cancer is terminal, that's another thing. When you go into the operation, and the surgeon has told you and your family there's little hope that you will come out of the surgery, or when death takes your loved one, your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your beloved parents, your close friend. Then to say what Paul says here, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We must know the ground upon which we may have and do have this hope. That solid ground is Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ that we celebrate today was Jesus' own personal victory over death and the grave. Jesus arose, conquering death and destroying death. Death could not hold its prey. He tore its bars away. And in triumphant victory over death, Jesus said, on that first Easter Sunday, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead himself alone, personally, but he arose from the dead as the head and representative of his people. We must appreciate that. We must be convinced of that, people of God. Our hope and confidence of victory over death depends on this. It was not only the case on that Good Friday long ago that he died, not for his own sins, but for the sins of others, died as their representative, their head, on their behalf, and in their place. But it was in that same capacity that he arose from the dead on Easter Sunday morning. He rose just as he had died, the head of his people, their representative. His resurrection, therefore, is the guarantee of our own blessed resurrection. His resurrection is the certainty from God of our resurrection. And in His resurrection, we ourselves have principally been raised up. That's the gospel of the resurrection. This is the great truth that the apostle argues, explains, and defends in 1 Corinthians 15. That's the whole great point that he makes. Verses 20 through 22, for example. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all of whom he is the head, all who are his by electing grace, shall be made alive. And isn't that true to your experience and to my experience? When we look at death and look at the grave, apart from Jesus Christ, our union to Jesus Christ, Christ's headship of us, our oneness with Christ, we cannot have the hope of this Word of God. Then all that there is the fearful reality of death. Then all that there is that deep, dark hole in the ground. I confess that when I look at death, apart from Jesus Christ, when I go to the cemetery and do not think of Jesus Christ and through faith lay hold on the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, there's hopelessness and utter despair. Consciously, we must lay hold on the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. We must know the certainty of our victory over death and the grave as it is grounded solidly in the bodily resurrection of our Savior and Head, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is only the victory of Christ that He accomplished already on the cross of Calvary when He died. His resurrection from the dead is only the culmination of that victory and the proof of that victory. Really, it was on the cross of Calvary, that Christ took hold of that giant scorpion and pulled out its stinger. There on that cross, He took away the victory that naturally belongs to death. In the cross, we have our victory over death and the grave. The apostle explains that in the text and shows that to be true by what he says in verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The stinger of death, the right that death has to inflict its worst on you and on me, is due to sin. Your sin and my sin. That's the judgment of God on sinners. Guilty sinners deserve to die. Those who hate God are rebels against God, who despise God, and obedience to God deserve to die. The stinger of death is sin. They deserve not only to die, but dying under the judgment of God, those sinners deserve hell and everlasting suffering in the torments of hell. By His suffering on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ has endured the wrath and curse of God against our sins. He satisfied there on the cross the righteousness of God with respect to you and with respect to me. He redeemed us from the guilt of our sins. That's the most awful aspect of death, that death is the wrath and curse of God. That's why the world will never be able to conquer death. It doesn't see that. Oh, it sees that. God sees to it that they see that, but they won't admit that. All that they ever see is death from a physical point of view, a biological process that takes place. And they're determined that they're going to conquer it. They can't. They won't. Because that's not death. That's one almost insignificant aspect of death. This is death. The wrath of God. Men die as the judgment of a holy God. But that wrath of God has been satisfied for us in the death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason for our confidence tonight. That's why we have this good hope. Why we are able and do join the apostle tonight in saying, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Through faith in Jesus Christ. God has chosen us in Jesus Christ. God has given us to Jesus Christ. And by His grace and Spirit, He works faith in us so that we believe. Tonight under the gospel are strengthened in our faith in Jesus Christ. That calls for the glad response in us. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because of this great victory accomplished on our behalf in Jesus Christ, the apostles' response is thanksgiving to God. That's verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. His response is gratitude to God. The resurrection was God's own work. That's the prophecy of Hosea 13, verse 14. I will be thy plagues, O death. I will destroy you, O grave. In Jesus Christ, God, Jehovah God, defeated death. This was a gracious work of God on behalf of all those whom He had given to Christ. The apostle expresses that when he says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. It's a matter of grace. Of course it is. For we are sinners, everyone, who deserve to die and who deserve the wrath and curse of God. Think of it. That for you and for me, instead, He should give His Son, His own only begotten Son, to that death and curse. What a grace. What an amazing grace. Thanks be to God, which giveth us this great victory. Thanks. That's the word that resounds in the heart and mind of the believer, expressed in word, arising out of sincere hearts, this thanks shows itself in our life in the midst of this world. How can it be any different? No, the opposite is also the case. That's verses 32 and 33. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? If there is no resurrection of Christ, no hope of this for us, then this will be our response. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Ah, but that is not so. We are alive in Jesus Christ. In Christ we have the victory over death and the grave, and therefore we live, not for ourselves. Life isn't eating, drinking, and being merry, because tomorrow that's the end of it. But this is life. That we live for God, to the praise of the glory of His grace in Jesus Christ. What a difference then. What a difference the confession of the truth of Jesus' resurrection makes in the life of the believer. He lives his life then not for himself. His life is lived for God. And that makes life worth the living, people of God, that we live it for Him. No matter where in life He has set you, no matter what your present calling in life may be, you live for Him who died for you and on your behalf is risen and has conquered death and the grave. This gives us good hope for the present as well. Are there hard circumstances in your earthly life? Great difficulties and distresses that presently you are dealing with? Uncertainty financially, perhaps as far as a job is concerned, or some sorrow or sickness with which you must contend? We have good hope. Good hope because we serve a risen Savior who has conquered death and the grave, who has the victory over the greatest evil that there is, death and the grave. Well then, how can any of these other evils possibly hurt us, possibly destroy us? They can't. They won't. He won't let them. And then, good hope for the future as well. When each of us faces this last great enemy, death, it's still there, as menacing as ever, but its stinger is gone. It cannot hurt us. What have we then to fear? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, which giveth us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, we thank Thee for the gospel, for the good news that the gospel is in a world filled with darkness and despair. We pray, O God, that we may embrace this gospel by a true faith, and that we may show in our lives the thankfulness that is befitting. Keep us, O God, in this our hope until the great day when this hope is perfectly realized, when the trumpet sounds and the Lord comes again. Amen.